The Bank of American Fork is a Utah State chartered community bank headquartered in American Fork, Utah. The Great Recession presented a difficult situation to the bank because of its high concentration in commercial real estate lending. This is the story of how it was able to overcome these high concentrations and continue lending throughout the downturn. In 2008, the housing bubble popped on community banks with high concentrations of acquisition, development, and construction loans. Both regulators and bankers found themselves in new territory.
One thing we've historically experienced or had here is an abundance of land. The concentrations of commercial real estate in the community banks is higher here in the West than it is in the East Coast. You take that right down to particularly, say, in Utah, there is a high propensity of the community banks to be involved in the development of housing, the acquisition, development, construction loans. Whether you were lending directly on the land or lending to people who were developing the land, that was a solid credit, that was a solid value, you could underwrite it. And in the uneventful, or in the event you don't want, if you had to take the collateral back on that, real estate was something you could rely on to hold its value.
Some of our community banks that were either over-concentrated or not well enough capitalized, even though it appeared they were going into the recession and the crisis, once the losses started mounting, it became evident that there really you couldn't have had enough capital because you had so much risk on your balance sheet and the market was going down 20, 25, 30% in some cases. And no bank, you know, very few banks have that kind of capital laying around to take the losses. And you might be able to take one loss or two losses, but when it's sustained over several years going one year to the next and even getting worse, that's pretty hard to live through because no one was willing to put new or fresh capital into a bank that was struggling.
Even though community banks face increasing regulation and decreasing net assets, they continue to play an integral role in their communities and the nation.
Like a person in any profession, probably passionate about what they do, and I'm pretty passionate about community banking. I think that's what separates us from a lot of different countries in the world, the fact that we have smaller banks rather than national banks, because smaller banks are able to deal a little more one-on-one and a little more closely with small businesses, smaller entrepreneurs. Not that the big banks don't do that, but we do it maybe on a larger scale to smaller borrowers, the common man, I guess.
The Bank of American Fork has 14 branches, approximately 320 employees, and $1.1 billion in assets. It was founded in 1913 in American Fork, Utah, and is still headquartered there today.
My name is Richard Beard, and I've been doing this for about 10 and a half years. Actually, it's a symbiotic relationship with banks, and what I mean by that is that we are dependent on the health of a community. If we're in a community that's having problems, the bank's not going to be successful. And so we are very careful to make sure that we look to communities that we think we can thrive in and that we don't just extract from the community, but we put back into the community so that the community will thrive and the bank will thrive. We think that economic dependency is a healthy thing.
The Bank of American Fork succeeded through the downturn because it acted early to limit exposure. It performed an extensive workout process on troubled loans, and it was innovative in pooling new funds. The bank's strong relationships with its customers helped it accurately assess the recoverability of individual loans. It was then able to adjust the allowance account, or ALL, early, in anticipation of increasing foreclosures.
One of the real keys to the success that we were able to achieve was our ability to react quickly. I think we recognized very early that there were some serious problems on the horizon. More and more banks recognized the problems or recognized their problems and tried to solve those, and again put in the same position we were to liquidate properties. We now had a glut of underperforming commercial and single-family residence properties that were being put out on the market, and very few buyers at that point. So I think our ability to react quickly, we were able to maybe work through some of the problems sooner than some of the other banks were.
What we had was a situation where we had a lot of loans on land development type projects. And we had them all in Utah County, we had them in Salt Lake County, we had some projects down in St. George, Utah. And these were when the land prices were at their top, and all of a sudden everything went down by 40%. And it took a little bit of time for that to happen, but pricing went down, and developers were losing whatever they put into it, plus they owed us on the loan. And so the values of those properties were actually less than the loan. And so we ended up having to foreclose on a lot of loans. And because the values were lower, we had to write down our loans. We took large charge-offs, and we reduced those loans by probably over the course of 2008 to about 2012, probably $50 million by what we wrote down. It's a lot of money.
The bank formed the Special Assets Department, or SAD, committee during the downturn to discuss problem loans. It met weekly and created workout plans for each borrower. This helped Bank of American Fork employees, from the top to bottom, have a clear workout strategy throughout the recession.
The SAD committee, or our Special Assets Department committee, was a very crucial part of working through the problems we encountered during the recession. Initially, we were meeting every 2 weeks as a committee, and that included our regional managers, our credit administration people. It involved our CEO, our CFO. It involved a couple of board members. So there were a lot of people involved in that. A lot of those early meetings were 4 and 5 hour meetings. And what we would do is we would discuss each of our troubled credits in some detail. And what we would try to accomplish is somewhat of a game plan for us to address the problem credits, how we could maybe get them to a point where they were a performing credit. If that was not going to be possible, then we were trying to determine how we could best solve the problem and achieve that with minimal loss to the bank. So there was a tremendous amount of time that was put into it by a number of people.
The bank's strategic success afforded it the opportunity to be innovative in sourcing new capital. It created a foreclosed property fund, interest-paying checking accounts, and remained profitable throughout the downturn. 2008 was the first time since the Great Depression that it was not able to pay a dividend.
We also had foreclosed assets. We had a lot that we had taken in because the borrower couldn't make the payments on them. So we were building our OREO asset inventory, and we wanted to somehow reduce that. So one of the ways we did that is created this BAF fund. We called the BAF, BAF, meaning Bank of American Fork Fund. And they would actually buy lots from us at a discount. And basically what we thought the appraisal was, and then they would just hold on to them. We didn't want to hold them, because we figured we had to hold them for 2 years, and we did not want to do that, not what we're in the business to do. So we decided we'll go ahead and just sell them for what we have them on the books or less, and then they would hold on to them, and then when the market improved, they could sell it at a profit. And so far, it's done quite well. Their return has been anywhere from 9 to 10% on their money. Even though we took a lot of large write-down, we were always profitable through this entire period.
We were offering 4.07% interest on, if you met certain qualifications and only up to $25,000 on checking account, on a free checking account with no fees. It went from zero in 2008 to roughly $80 million as part of our deposit portfolio. And not only that, but it was really strong core deposits of the bank, and that was a really important product.
The bank's intimate knowledge of its customers allowed it to strategize successfully. Its strategy kept it profitable, and its profitability allowed it to keep lending.
In Bank of American Fork, when you live with these guys, you see them in church on Sunday, you know, you meet them at the tire store on the weekend or the grocery store or whatever, it makes a big difference because they know you and you know them, and they know the plights that you are having, and they know your strengths and your weaknesses, and it makes better decisions for banking.
If you want to say the financial downturn was from 2007, 2008 to 2012, we did very well. We opened up two more locations, created over 100 jobs, and continue to see our same store sales improve. For me personally, the value of a local bank is that we deal with an individual that knows our business. They're our customers, and you know, they're in our stores, they eat our product. You know, if I have a situation where I have a problem, I don't have to defer to somebody else in, say, San Francisco or Chicago or somewhere of that nature. I can go to a local branch, talk to them, they can come and see my situation and see what I'm proposing. And for me, that relationship is huge. It's more on a personal level, and I don't have someone making decisions, you know, in New York based on, you know, data that I've sent them. They can see it, feel it, touch it. And if I tell them we're busy, they can come in my stores and see that we're busy.
So when I approached Bank of American Fork, I approached one of the banking officers there, Steve Winters, and it really started and incepted from a relationship. I felt like they wanted to truly understand my business, and I truly wanted to understand what they were trying to do as a bank. And if I could feel out a way to merge those two together and create a relationship that was really a win-win for both of us, that would be the banking relationship I'd have for years after. And that's really where it started, is a relationship that cultivated from them wanting to understand how to help me as a local business trying to grow and add jobs, and them trying to figure out where do you lend in the market right now where the market has been absolutely crushed, where it's the safest for them and their bank regulator still, but they are in the business of lending money, and I wanted to give them a reason to lend money. But I also saw a great opportunity to add as many jobs as I could to the economy. Really, with the bank, they've created lifers out of not only myself, but my entire team here, my entire accounting and finance team, and even my partners. Everybody wants to continue to bank with Bank of American Fork for what they've done for our business.
The bank contributed to its local economy throughout the downturn. Because it interacts directly with its customers, it knows the quality of its assets. During the downturn, it boosted allowances early, did an extensive workout process, and innovated capital sources. Bank of American Fork's success directly benefits its community.
It really comes back to some basic philosophical issues, and that's how do you view your job? And the way we view our job is to really fund the dreams of the community. And that sounds a little bit esoteric, but it's a very real driving force. It's as simple as this, that a community bank succeeds if the community succeeds. And so we have every interest in the world in the community succeeding.